I'm glad I decided to come here today.
Amen.
Some of you will know what I'm talking about when I say the reason I'm here is because I wanted to be here. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I'll say this, I'm going to hate to leave. But I'll have to go back home tonight. Got to plan on going to a funeral tomorrow morning, but sure has been a blessing to be here. Good spirit here. And I ask you to pray for me. I feel like you prayed for all the preachers that have come up so far. Just keep it up. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this follows Jesus' baptism. And then his temptation in the wilderness. This verse comes following that. This was the beginning of his public ministry. Mm-hmm. And the establishing of his kingdom on earth. Much of Jesus' ministry focused on this expression, the kingdom of God.
Yes. Amen.
The Gospels mention the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven about 85 times. Thereabout. And all but two are direct or indirect quotes from Jesus. So clearly, the kingdom had a very significant role in the ministry and teachings of Jesus.
Right. Amen.
I mean, his ministry basically was about that.
Amen. Right. That's right.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
That's right.
But now the concept of the kingdom of God was also established in the Old Testament.
Right.
Although that particular phrase is not found in the Old Testament, the Old Testament presents the kingdom of God as eternal,
right,
as universal, as a present reality, yet also as something that was to be established sometime in the future.
Right.
So the concept of the kingdom of God began in the Old Testament, but something that would be continued over into the New Testament. Today we're used to thinking of a kingdom like a nation.
Right.
A geographical location.
Right.
With their own government and law and custom. We generally think of a kingdom in those kinds of terms. But the kingdom is best expressed by the idea of reign or sovereignty.
Yeah.
The kingdom is the people or things which a king has authority over.
Right. Reign.
Or one's kingdom.
Right.
Is the people or the things that one has authority over. This concept is found in Psalm 103, verse 19. It says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now, many in the world may not acknowledge God's sovereignty or his rule over the earth. And there's many that don't.
Right.
And even some of the Lord's people, even though they might acknowledge it, they don't act like it.
Right, right.
They don't live like it. But God reigns and everything is under His control.
Right.
And that's been brought out on several occasions this morning. The Old Testament honors God as the ruler over all. And Psalm 47:7 says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Nations may not submit or acknowledge God, but He still reigns over all, whether we acknowledge it or not.
Right.
Amen. Whether other governments acknowledge it or not, God still reigns.
Right.
In other words, as I think was mentioned also today, He does as He pleases.
Amen. Right.
God does exactly what He wants to.
That's right.
And He wants to do a lot of things. While the Old Testament acknowledges God's rule over all the earth, the prophets, they spoke of a future kingdom that was linked to God's anointed one, or the Messiah. In Isaiah 9:6 said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder."
Yeah. Amen.
Well, what was this future kingdom? How would they recognize it when this kingdom that the prophet spoke about? What was it, and how would they recognize it when it came? Jewish history records a custom that developed over time. It was practiced in the time of Christ during the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was called the illumination of the temple ceremony. There were four large menorahs, and which is a branch candlestick with several lights. Y'all know what a menorah is. Now, some writings suggest that they were about 70 feet tall.
Hmm.
Now, if not, they still were very large, if that's correct. And during each day of the feast, the menorahs were lit in the outer court of the temple. And it was said to be so bright that it illuminated every courtyard in Jerusalem.
Huh.
Now, that's amazing, isn't it? If that's accurate.
Yeah.
With that ceremony in the forefront of our minds that I just described, with that ceremony where everything was illuminated, with that in the forefront of our minds, go to the statement that Jesus makes in John 8:12. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When he made that statement, the people and the priests, they probably knew exactly what he was talking about or what he was referring to. For 6 nights, they saw that blazing light of the menorahs in the outer temple. Shortly after that, Jesus reinforces His claim. In the ninth chapter of John, He healed a blind man. And then He goes into the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus does on that sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, is He describes life in this kingdom.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Most people think of eternity as an endless duration of time. That's the way we generally think about eternity. Just an endless duration of time. Yet we want more than just a continuation of life as we experience it.
Mm, right. Yeah.
I mean, if eternity is just me living on like I am now, no thank you.
Amen. Right.
Our experience is that life is filled with problems.
Yeah.
And suffering and disappointments. Life is filled with that.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus even said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation."
Right. Yeah, sure did.
So eternal life is more than just living forever. The eternal life that we're speaking of here. The entire New Testament defines eternal life only once. And it's Jesus who defines it with great precision. It's only defined once in the New Testament. And it's none other than Jesus who defines it. And he defines it very precisely. In John 17:3,
yeah.
He says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So what do we get from that? Eternal life equals knowing God.
Right. Right.
Notice that Jesus didn't say that they might know about thee.
Right.
Jesus says that they might know thee.
Amen.
Not just know about thee, but that they will know me.
Amen.
That's eternal life.
Yeah.
Jesus defines it. If you want to know what eternal life is, there it is.
Amen.
Philosophers, they distinguish between knowledge by description and knowledge by acquaintance. Let me give you an example. I might be able to describe Alaska. And the reason I can describe Alaska is because I've read about it. And I've seen it in pictures and in movies. So I can tell you a little bit about Alaska. Never been there, but I can tell you a lot about it. But I know Tennessee by acquaintance.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
I live in Tennessee. I can tell you what Tennessee smells like in the springtime.
Right.
I can tell you what Tennessee feels like in August, yeah. In mid-August. I've been to Tennessee. I can tell you what and describe to you the mountains of Tennessee, because I live here. You see the difference?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a difference between description and acquaintance.
Right.
Eternal life is more than just something far away in the heavens. Mm. Now follow me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Something is more than something that we can only hope to experience after we die.
Right.
Amen. Generally with what we think about. That's when eternal life begins, is after we die. We go to heaven, now we've started our eternal life.
Right.
But eternal life is more than just something far away in the heavens.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus came preaching.
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eternal life in the individual
does
not begin after death.
Amen.
It begins at the point where God touches the individual with grace in the new birth.
Right.
And that's where eternal life begins, in the individual. Where God Himself touches them in the new birth and He draws them to Himself to interact with them in His kingdom.
Right.
God is not waiting for eternity to begin.
Amen. That's right.
God is living in it right now.
Amen.
Right now, God is living in eternity.
That's right.
It's the interactive fellowship that exists between the Father and the Son and the Spirit.
Yeah.
Eternity is moving right along.
Yeah.
And we can experience a part of that right now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, how do we do that? Sounds good. But just how do we do that? Along with other things, Jesus was in the news announcing business.
Amen.
He was a newscaster. No fake news with Jesus.
No.
Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Yep.
The gospel means, you know it, good news.
That's right.
Jesus went around announcing that something had happened.
Right.
I mean, he preached it everywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't mistake that the kingdom was on his mind.
Right.
And it wasn't just news. It was good news that he had.
That's right.
I've got some good news for you.
That's right.
So what is the good news that Jesus himself proclaimed? The Apostle Mark summarizes Jesus' gospel carefully at the very beginning of his ministry. Listen to what he said in Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel."
Amen.
Listen, folks, that's something we ought to do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
But we don't get around to it like we should.
That's right.
After choosing the disciples, Jesus sent those disciples out. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Jesus was all about the kingdom, folks.
Yeah, he was.
After his resurrection, in Acts 1:3, said, "Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God."
Amen.
After his resurrection, what was Jesus talking about? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the last glimpse that we have of the early church in the book of Acts, Paul is preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. In Acts 28:31. It's just a central theme, isn't it?
It is.
Jesus' good news, which was his gospel, is this: the kingdom of God has come through Jesus and is available for ordinary folks like you and I to live in.
Amen.
It's available for us to live in.
That's right.
Right now. Just ordinary me and you. We're about as ordinary as it gets, aren't we? And you don't get more ordinary than Tennessee and Alabama, do you? That's right.
That's pretty ordinary.
Texas ain't far. Some people teach that the only reason Jesus came to earth was to die on the cross. But death on the cross, that was only part of his purpose.
Yes.
That wasn't all of it.
Amen.
Now I know that we preach Christ and him crucified. Believe me, I know the importance of the cross.
Right.
But Jesus didn't come just to die on the cross.
Right.
His purpose also included bringing the kingdom.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right.
His gospel was to proclaim the availability of the kingdom of God. His purpose was to model the reality of that kingdom in his own life.
That's right.
Watch him. Watch Jesus. And learn what kingdom living is.
That's it.
That's all you've got to do is watch him.
Right.
And you'll learn what kingdom living is. But Jesus said, "That's why I came." He said, "I've got some good news for you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So his main command was to pursue the kingdom.
Right.
Now you don't believe me? Well, Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
And all these things shall be added unto you."
Right.
See, I was right, wasn't I?
That's right.
That his main command was to pursue the kingdom. Not just to give the right answers to doctrine.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, brother. Amen.
Amen.
It was to pursue the kingdom.
Yep.
giving the right answers on doctrine that doesn't have anything to do with going to heaven.
That's right.
Doesn't have anything to do with you living the abundant life here. Jesus lets us know what's really important while we're here. If I look out here, if I'm not mistaken, every one of you that are here right now are not in the eternal heaven right now.
That's right.
Every one of you.
That's right.
We're all here in the world right now.
Right.
If we don't start with the gospel that Jesus taught, then we'll end up with a gospel that he didn't preach.
That's right.
Amen. Right.
The gospel of Jesus' kingdom offers a salvation for people who are in need and people who are in despair.
Yes.
He offers the remedy and the healing of injustice and much more. We could go on and on with all the things that the Lord offers. Even though the kingdom of God was a central theme of the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, many who claim his name and profess to be Christians, those same people could not even tell you what the kingdom is. That's right.
Amen.
I mean, I'd be lying if I told you anything different. There's at least enough of you shook your head. Everybody didn't, but enough of you did, so I'll take that. We don't use the word kingdom that often, do we? So what is a kingdom? In the biblical sense, everyone has a kingdom. Your kingdom is that little domain where you where what you say goes. That's your kingdom. What you say goes. Your kingdom is the range of your effective will. People learn early on that they deserve their own kingdom. They learn that early on.
Yeah, they do.
It's why we don't like to be told what to do.
Right.
Have you ever heard anyone use this expression, "You're not my boss"? Oh yeah, somebody out there has heard it. We all have our own little kingdom, don't we? Kids, they have their separate bedrooms. And they consider their bedroom their kingdom. They make the rules of their own bedroom. And little brother or older brother better obey the rules. But now, mom and dad, they think the bedroom is their kingdom also, as well as the rest of the house. Point is, people have their own kingdoms. People post private property signs up. You know why? That's my property. Stay off. You got to ask me before you enter it. No trespassing or no hunting signs. I've run across a lot of those while I was out hunting. Now wait a minute. Y'all assumed that I just went on. Boy. But people that put up those signs, what they're saying is, that's my property and I make the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it means.
Right.
You obey my rules on my property, or you don't get on my property. On earth, all our little kingdoms begin to intersect and merge. Mm-hmm. And all of our little kingdoms, when they intersect and merge, they form larger kingdoms, such as families and corporations, nations, political and cultural systems. Mm-hmm. They all merged and formed larger kingdoms. And when we take all of that, when we take the whole conglomeration of the kingdoms of the earth, that's called the kingdom of the earth. When you put them all together, that's the kingdom of the earth.
That's right.
And this kingdom of the earth is very corrupted with sin.
Amen.
So let's do a contrast study real quick. Jesus says that there's a domain called the kingdom of God. Hmm. And it's the range of God's effective will. Mm-hmm. It's wherever God's will is done. Right? Yeah. It's where everything meets God's approval and is pleasing to God. Everything meets His approval and His pleasure. Everything is exactly the way God wants it to be. Now you're going to have to follow me here. It's where the greatest humble themselves like children. There's no big shots.
Right.
There's no arrogant egos.
Amen. Right.
No one ever has an anxious thought. Every encounter between people causes them to have joy. It's as the Apostle Paul says, Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Watching over this domain that I've just described to you is the great God of love that we've heard preached all day today. God is great. God is good.
Amen.
Jesus tells us that this is the kingdom of God. And that it exists right now. But listen, people you know and love who have died are experiencing this reality that I just described just now. They're experiencing that reality right now. Then there's the kingdom of the earth. And just how well is the kingdom of the earth going? The contrast to the one I just described. This world, this kingdom is filled with violence.
Yes.
It's filled with betrayal. Thousands of babies die daily from malnutrition. That's describing the kingdom of this earth. Thousands of babies die of starvation and malnutrition. Women are being sexually assaulted. People are killing other people in the name of some religion. Mm-hmm. Politicians politicize everything. Everything is being politicized nowadays. Sickening, isn't it? Vows that have been made are being broken. There's all kinds of racial tensions. So when we look at this in contrast to the way I described God's kingdom, where everything goes exactly as God, as it pleases God, and exactly the way God wants it to, where the proud are humble. But now look at this, the kingdom of this earth. Who does it look like is running things down here? Things in the kingdom of earth aren't going so well, are they?
That's right.
Seems like there isn't much good news for the poor.
Right.
Seems like there's not a lot of good news for the weak.
Yeah.
For those that are cast down.
Right.
For those that are uneducated. For the misfit.
Right.
A lot of misfits in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
And believe me, this world goes out of their way to let them know that they... that this world thinks they're misfits.
Yeah.
That's painful.
Yeah.
This kingdom of this world isn't going too well, is it?
Yeah.
Jesus has a plan.
Amen.
He describes in the world, he describes this plan in the world's most famous prayer. How about that? Well, just what is this plan that Jesus has for this world that is so corrupt and so messed up? He describes the plan in a very, very famous prayer. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Good way to start prayer, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Acknowledging our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A lot could be said about that, but what I want is what's next. Listen to what he says next. And he's telling them, here's how to pray.
Right.
He says, this is what you... Here he says, if you want to know how to pray and what to pray for, I'm going to lay it out here for you. Listen to what he says closely. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It wasn't until not long ago that I really grasped what he was saying there.
Right.
Let me read it again, what he's saying. He said, pray this. Thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is telling us, here's what you pray for.
Yeah.
Pray for thy kingdom come. In other words, Jesus is saying, here's my plan. I'm going to bring this kingdom that I described that exists right now in heaven, the eternal heaven, where our loved ones that have departed are. Jesus says, my plan is I'm going to bring some of that down here.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Pray, thy kingdom come. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, get me out of here
right.
so that I can go up there.
Right.
That's not what he taught us to pray.
Right.
Lord, get me out of this world so I can go up there. He said, but make up there. He said, this is what we pray. Make some of up there come down here.
Amen. That's right.
Thy kingdom come. Make things down here run the way things do up there.
Yeah.
That's what we should be praying for.
Yeah. Kingdom.
Why? Because we live here right now.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, we're living here right now. Jesus told us to ask God to bring heaven, your kingdom, God, your domain. Bring that kingdom to my family. Bring that kingdom to my workplace. Bring that kingdom to my group of friends. Bring that kingdom to my neighborhood. Bring that kingdom to my country.
Yeah.
Starting with my life. Starting with my little kingdom. Bring some of that here. Lord knows we need some of it here right now, don't we?
Amen.
Amen.
The good news gospel that Jesus proclaimed is this. Salvation is not just getting you to heaven. So much more to salvation.
Right.
Salvation is also getting some of heaven to you right here and now. That's part of salvation also. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So Jesus' gospel is not only about something that will happen in the future, but something that has come now. The kingdom of God is right here in the midst of all the kingdoms that opposes it. Right here in the midst of all it. So you might be thinking, if the kingdom has come with Jesus, then why is the earth still so messed up? Why, if the kingdom has come, why are pain and suffering still with us? And it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
The answer. And by the way, this took the early church a long time to come to grips with. But they eventually came to grips with this. About why there's still pain and suffering if the kingdom has come. The answer is that other kingdoms still remain. Other wills that oppose God are still present. We see it all around us. We can't deny it. The early church, they finally realized it. It took them a while to come to grips with it. But there's still a lot of problems in this world. We can benefit from the kingdom now by doing God's will.
Amen.
Every time that you are in a conflict with someone and you want to hurt them or you want to gossip about that person or you avoid that person, any of you ever been in a situation like that? Where you were in some kind of conflict with somebody and you wanted to hurt them back. You wanted to gossip. They hurt you and you want other people to know what they did. It eats you alive sometimes, almost, doesn't it? Or some people have hurt you so much that you just want to avoid them altogether. But what if you, instead of avoiding them or spreading gossip about them, instead of wanting to get revenge or get back at them, what if you instead go to that person and seek reconciliation and seek forgiveness? When you do that, instead of being angry and avoiding and gossiping, seeking revenge, if you go and seek reconciliation, forgiveness, guess what? Thy kingdom come.
Amen. Right.
Thy will be done.
Amen.
That's kingdom living.
Yeah.
Every time you have some money and you give sacrificially to someone who is hungry or to someone who is homeless or to someone who is poor, when I say give sacrificially, I'm not talking about when you've got extra.
Right. Amen.
I'm talking about when it's a sacrifice for you to give to help somebody. Amen. Every time you have some money and you give sacrificially to someone who is hungry, homeless, or poor, guess what? Thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Thy will be done. That's the message that Jesus said. We can live in that kingdom now.
Yes, sir.
Every time that an addict turns to God for help, thy kingdom come.
Yeah, yeah.
Thy will be done. Every time a workaholic parent, notice, a workaholic parent decides to start devoting more time to his children, thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
Thy will be done.
Right.
You know how children spell love? T-I-M-E.
Right.
They don't care about the plaque on your desk or wall. They care about you spending time with them.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
When a father that devotes... Listen, there are many very successful men that are... families are in shambles.
Right. Amen.
Now this is the good news that happens through Jesus. Jesus himself, through his own incarnation, is literally up there coming down here. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. That's literally up there coming down here. That's why when Jesus goes to the Zacchaeus' house, who was the rich tax collector, you remember him? And after Jesus makes a trip there, Zacchaeus gives half of his good to the poor. Wow. And he says if he cheated anyone, he would restore that person fourfold. Jesus says to him, this day is salvation come to this house.
Yeah. Right.
That's in Luke 19:9. That doesn't just say that he will be with God when he dies.
Right.
He will, but it doesn't just say that.
Right.
It means Jesus has come to his house.
Amen.
And that up there has come down here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. May the Lord add his blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.